Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Regular Legislative Meeting, Part 1 of 2 Parts, February 10, 2015.
Good evening, all. I apologize. It is 7:50. I will call tonight's February 10th School Board Cheltenham Township Legislative Meeting to order. We will start off with the Pledge of Allegiance, and we'll do that by our student representative.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have some recognitions of volunteers.
Good evening, everyone. We have a large group tonight, so make the camera angle wide. We only get one night, and we have lots of people. The people surrounding me are Cheltenham High School, our parents who give so much of their time to strengthen our programs and make certain all of our children have the best experiences possible. And so in no certain order, let me introduce them to you now. And they can wave when I say their names. Amelia Xavier and Donna Gordon, leaders of the football team Boosters. They arrive early before every game, making certain that the tables are full of sweatshirts and other football memorabilia are ready for sale. They support our players with rides and snacks and the loudest cheers from the stands. Mary Ellen Weber and Lisa Stockybrand are the quintessential marching band Boosters. At a certain point on the scoreboard clock, you see them leading a group of parents running out of the stands to waiting golf carts and marimbas and bass drums. They grab scenery and props and the drum major stand. In 3 minutes, they have the halftime show ready to go. Terry Yago Ryan remains a steadfast booster of our boys' soccer teams, helping with refreshments and rides and undying support of our boys. Liz Barton is the energy and verve behind the wrestling team, advocating for signage so spectators can find the meets amongst our construction fences and encouraging everyone to come out for the team. Lawanda White is the ever-present mom for our boys' basketball team, even getting up early on a Saturday morning to host a pancake breakfast at Applebee's and decorating the gym for senior night. And speaking of girls basketball, our booster parents are Cindy Green, mother of Amare Trueheart, who lettered this year for SUNY Albany, and Quentin Jones, father of 10th grade Ashley, who just scored her 1,000th point at CHS. $1 million smile is a mile wide as he watches Ashley dance up and down the court. Brenda Edelman and Marlon Eisenberg boost the spirits of our vocal ensembles through fundraising and bake sales. They've raised about $1,000 towards the cost of an acoustical shell for Stretton Hall. During rehearsals and concerts in Stretton Hall, our band, orchestra, and choir students will be able to hear themselves and each other much, much better on the stage with an acoustical shell. Our performances will improve in quality, if that's even possible. Delilah Collins Mulligan and Sandra Knight have taken on the Herculean task of designing, organizing, and building the post-prom party. They and their massive crew will turn the CHS lobby and cafeteria into a wonderland for our seniors so they have a safe place to celebrate those after-prom hours. As always, the theme is a secret until the seniors arrive. Last, but certainly not least, are two ladies I've worked with for a very long time. Lisa Morton and Jackie Schulz are the quintessential PTO moms. We've worked for 6 years now, both at Cedarbrook and CHS. Jackie has been our treasurer as well as co-president, and Lisa deserves special recognition as her daughter graduates from CHS, as does she. We will be forever grateful for your contributions as vice president and president of our PTOs these many years. What will you do, Lisa, with all of your free time? Our parents provide the special glue for our programs, keeping us aware of our student needs and encouraging us all to be the best we can be. So thank you all from the bottom of our hearts.
Recognition for volunteer service. It is an honor to present, insert your name here. I'm not going to read them all. With recognition for many years of volunteer service to the school district of Cheltenham Township and Cheltenham High School. Presented this 10th day of February 2015, signed by our board president, Napoleon Nelson. We sincerely thank you all for what you do. I'm not going to call you all out because we've got a meeting here, but I know that the principal will get them to you. Thank you so much.
And now I'd like to call up some new teachers and counselors for Cheltenham High School. First, I'd like to introduce Brittany Coleman. Brittany is our special education teacher who supports our science classes using her English certification to help students read and dissect difficult texts. She has an undergraduate and master's degree from Arcadia University and is certified in secondary English and special education. For 4 years, she taught English and drama in the School District of Philadelphia, and Brittany's greatest interest is American literature. She says she loves to hear students discuss and analyze text to gain meaning and understanding of a piece of writing. Brittany thought she was being hired to help in English classes. As it turned out, she's in science and she's doing a fabulous job. And one of her co-teachers is Linza Sunny. Linza is our chemistry teacher. She has a bachelor's degree in chemistry and physics from Temple University with certifications in both. She completed her student teaching at Central High School in Philadelphia, and she likes to see and help her students see that science is fun. One of her interests is to help students connect to her through music. And then lastly, I'd like to introduce Kayla Vargas. Kayla is our new guidance counselor. Her academic credentials are she has a bachelor's in science in psychology from Kane University. She has a master's in school counseling from Wilmington University. And she has extensive experience at mental health facilities, including the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, 6 years as a counselor at the Kensington High School for the Creative and Performing Arts. Kayla says that she's worked with youth for the last 15 years in various areas of their lives, from the student to the mental health patient to the adolescent in the hospital setting. Her passion for this community of people has not wavered. Students in high school are at a pivotal point in their lives in which the choices they make can have a great impact on the life they will lead. Kayla's hope is that she will help them stay focused on attaining the goals they have set. And these are three of our new teachers at Cheltenham High School. Would you like me to continue with our beautiful art display? Well, this is just a preview. Welcome to the preview of the 2015 annual Cheltenham High School Arts Exhibition. Each year, students in the arts at Cheltenham High School create a dazzling display of artwork which represents their talents in the fields of fine arts, industrial arts, and family and consumer science. This year, you will find portraits, figures, fantasy drawings, architectural floor plans, photography, digital manipulations, and jewelry and fashion designs. The CHS artists work with pencil, pen and ink, charcoal, watercolor, printmaking, acrylic art, digital cameras, computers, precious metals, and more. The Cheltenham Unified Arts teachers represented in this show include Michael Oliveris, who teaches drawing and crafts, Lori Oliveris, who teaches digital photography and illustration, Connie Berger, who teaches art, 1, 2, and 3, AP drawing, fine arts, and craft arts, Louise Clark, who teaches jewelry and ceramics, Terry Sullivan, architectural drawing and building structures, Tony Saunders, fashion and sewing, Mr. Bruce Draws, graphic arts, Morav Mosbisky, digital media, craft arts, Mr. Lennon, Joe Lennon, wood technology, and Linda Wagner, culinary arts. Next month, many of our finest works will be on display in the PSEA Touch the Future Art Show, an annual competitive juried exhibit opening Sunday, March 1st at Arcadia University. The works in the PSEA exhibition offer a high level of technical skill, coupled with a thoughtfulness of expression and sensitivity to materials. Additionally, Cheltenham High School student artists will participate in a competitive show at Montgomery County Community College. You will be able to review all of these exceptional artworks and more at the annual CHS Art Show held May 18th this year at school. So the students have created many pieces of art, are continuing to create, and they will be displaying their artworks here and in a number of venues all spring. Thank you.
Thank you.
It reminds me a lot of the stuff that I used to do. It's very similar to my skills. We'll turn now to Dr. Kiefer for the superintendent.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, I want to thank our crews who have gotten up in the wee small hours of the morning to clear our parking lots, our sidewalks, our recess areas, and I also owe special thanks to all the people that I've called around 5 o'clock in the morning to get them out of bed. They do a terrific job, and we're grateful for that. Hopefully, it will be a short winter. I don't think we have a day that's been closed this winter, much different than last winter. Looking forward to spring kindergarten registration. We're looking to have everybody help us get the word out. Kindergarten registration runs Monday through Friday, March 2nd through the 13th. And Saturday, March 7th, and Saturday, March 14th. All dates and times are on the district website. The Office of Pupil Services will be placing lawn signs up in the community to advertise kindergarten registration. We ask that everybody help us out, getting the word out, informing friends and neighbors who have a school-age child. Last Friday, I attended the Student Leadership Conference at our high school, and my congratulations to the student participants and our faculty and staff that led this great initiative. I'm not going to give you the details. I think Molly's going to talk about her experience because the students just did a fabulous job. Sports. I also want to thank Panther Ashley Jones for scoring her 1,000th point. What an athletic accomplishment. Congratulations to Emily Fish, Annie Goldberg, and Carrie Morgan of the field hockey team for being named to the 2014 Keith Waldman, Optimal Performance Associates, High School National Academic Squad. This award celebrates athletes who demonstrate outstanding academic performance. So this is like a double win. These are star athletes, but also great scholars as well. Best of luck to our boys and girls indoor track teams. They have been invited to participate in the prestigious Millrose Games in New York City on February 15th. Our girls are seated number 3, and our boys are number 1. We are so proud of you who are representing our high school athletics on the road. In music, Max Ayers, Thomas McCauley, and Jesse Wish are being selected to the Region 6 Orchestra Best Festival. They will represent our high school at Oxford Area High School in a concert that includes the best musicians from Montgomery, Bucks, Delaware, Chester, and Philadelphia counties. January was filled with beautiful music thanks to our Elkins Park and Myers student musicians who delivered wonderful choral and instrumental concerts. Finally, Friday is a district-wide professional development day, no school for students. Professional development is going to be devoted to our Pennsylvania Core Standard Alignment curriculum work. And Monday, February 16th, is President's Day. District schools and offices will be closed. And that completes my report, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Angelo, Mr. Bruce, for our solicitors.
Thank you. We continue to work with Ms. David and the administration in terms of assisting with the implementation of the many, many requirements that have been imposed upon public school districts in Pennsylvania regarding background clearance checks for volunteers, employers of contractors, and employees. There are many unanswered questions and things that are still being reviewed, so that's going to be a work in progress for several months.
I will now make a real quick announcement on the agenda, the legislative update. We will be voting on a resolution voting to adopt a resolution for a fair and equitable funding formula for the state. So I don't believe it will be seen on that screen, but that will be posted to the website once we get that out to you. Obviously, once that is voted on by the board. I wanted to make sure you all had that. As we move into public comments on agenda items only. As usual, please state your name and location.
I am Sherry Hazelwood from Glenside. I'm speaking individually, not as part of any group. I'd like to speak on agenda item 8A10. How about that? I've never done that before. I'm concerned. We're in a position here where we're starting to not have too many leaders sitting in our administration building. And I'd simply like to say that, to be honest with you, I can't actually remember many months ago when we eliminated the position of assistant superintendent as to exactly why we did that. So I'm now wondering why we're eliminating the next position and whether that position has actually been given its full due. It's only been 7 months that position has actually been filled, and during that time there was a great deal of turmoil in the district, and I'm not sure that the full capacity of that job has actually been seen or done. I'm not saying that I say we should keep it or not keep it. I'm simply saying that sometimes it's good to take a step back and take a deep breath and say maybe we need to look and settle. I know there's a plan somewhere. Everybody has a plan. I would doubt seriously if Dr. Kiefer and you all didn't have a plan. But I worry about the vacuum of leadership. And knowing that Dr. Kiefer can really only stay for so long, just by the basis of what his basis is, and it worries me that we lose a lot of things. From a parent's perspective, we get to start over yet again. And that's very hard for us. We, you know, find it hard and difficult to constantly be jostled to the next person. So hopefully you guys have a plan and we're going to move forward. I just thought I would do what I'm supposed to do, which is publicly comment on my concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. And I will make mention here that we did not actually officially eliminate the position of the assistant superintendent. So part of this is also working that position back into the budget with the expectation of filling that assistant superintendent position and work on shifting those responsibilities from the director of school improvement to a once filled assistant superintendent position. But it was not voted to be eliminated.
Oh, okay. So it was actually never like sent to the state to eliminate it. We just simply never filled it again. Oh.
So that's part of it.
Right. So it's like still hanging out there somewhere. Okay. All right. I didn't know that. I thought we eliminated the position. Okay. Thank you very much.
Over the past several weeks, some factions of the board have been working on two separate processes. One, to continue to identify ideal candidates for the acting or the interim superintendent role, making sure that we know who will be here for the duration of our transition period until that full-time superintendent has been identified. And then another small subset of the board has been working on narrowing down and compiling the list of superintendent search consultants and providing to the board a recommendation for who to engage in that capacity. So you will see in the coming weeks motions on both of those items from the board. I wanted to make sure everyone is aware now that this is not an unnoticed or an unexpected change on our part, but this is part of the process of how we continue to ensure the appropriate and effective leadership of this district. So the substitute superintendent is, by its nature, unfortunately, a temporary one, and so we will look to make sure we provide the appropriate, both rigor and framework for the board for identifying that next leader, and obviously ensuring that we do the right thing to select that future superintendent to lead this district. You will all be continue to be notified of how those processes are moving and certainly be very much engaged in both as we continue to select leadership and really move our district forward. So with that, I will move then to the President's report. Mr. Tinsley, are you teaching?
On single parents and difficulties our district faces as a result of lack of African American males in teaching and mentoring capacities. Once again, I am thrilled and delighted to be joined the year 2015 by a wonderful group of board parents with wide-ranging interests and passions and seeing our community become excellent. I reckon you're all familiar with the function of UPG has in our district, but for those families or audience members that may be new to our district, allow me to reintroduce this. The United Parents Group is comprised of parents and guardians from all the public schools in Shawnee and serves as a connection for all parent groups, bringing the schools, parents, and PTOs together to share ideas and concerns. It is a vehicle for facilitating communication among parents, school teachers, administrators, and the school board directors to ensure that each of the students is receiving excellent education. We have been a force for change, and we strive to engage each parent and guardian as a part of an education process. The process of being concerned about educational experience of all students in our district begins with our responsibility as parents and guardians to be engaged in our child's education. This engagement begins with small, simple, concrete tasks, one like joining listserv. Make sure that you receive news from the district and your child's school on a daily basis. It will only take a few minutes of your time. You can sign up on the Shawnee School District website 24 hours a day. If you do not have internet accessibility, please do not hesitate to reach out to a member of our board or feel free to come to the building or feel free to come to the administration building for further assistance. Our first meeting of the year was held on September 29th. The topic was school performance profile and its role of our district comprehensive plan. Director of Education Dwight Noll discussed students' performances of the TSSA Keystone exams, provide an update on some curricular changes brought about by the movement towards Common Core standards. It was an opportunity for family members to ask questions about how students' performance on these exams and the future of curricular decisions, as well as ask about efforts to support all students in reaching educational goals. The discussion included acknowledgement of the need to better engage students as well as parents and guardians in the education process, starting with young children's first experience in school. UPG is an important role in that process, and although many questions were answered, there were many that were not. One of the primary discussions and questions still remains for parents as well as a wide variety of members of the district: what are we prepared to do about the disparity in achievement, especially in our African American population? At this point, we recognize that something needs to change. On December 1st, our continued and anticipated conversation about culture and diversity was a great success. Our guest speakers were Lorraine Marino and Frederick Bryant, who facilitated many conversations in our district on race and cultural competency. And once again, they delivered a powerful focus group on race and culture, almost exceeding the scheduled time limit due to such enchanting and engaging conversation. As members of the district and community filled the room asking questions that identified with color, racism, and sexual identity, one could say Frederick and Lorraine are both needed in the district more than once or twice a year, and every principal and teacher should have it as an obligation to be a part of the next discussion. I mean, this unique team of black and white, male and female, are a sure way to be icebreakers and open up future discussions in regards to several challenges that could improve our district on race and cultural competence. They have collaborated with UPG twice in the past, and each time based on general feedback. They leave everyone in the room feeling relieved, refreshed, and rejuvenated. It should be imperative as well as a district priority to make sure that we have community discussions about issues involving race and diversity, which affect our daily lives as well as the culture of our schools. Our next meeting on February 23rd, our agenda will be the topic of discussion of mentoring and how much it matters. The UPG meeting, over the last several years, the idea of having mentors in our school district has remained just an idea. Why are we ignoring the national research that proves mentoring makes a difference? In light of all the current events, such as school shootings, suicides, bullying, etc., one can only think of mentoring as a viable option for every school district. While teachers, administrators, psychologists, and guidance counselors play a very important role in the lives of their students, there's no denying the vital role of the mentor in which they play. Mentors develop unique relationships with students and their families to create a unique environment which results in students thriving not only emotionally but physically. On the road to life, every child needs a mentor. I hope to see everyone who's present here on February 23rd, where we will break down the process of mentoring, the value it has, and how much it's imperative for our school district to implement a program and appoint a personnel to be involved in mentoring. Thank you all for your time.
Winkle Elementary School construction project update. Cement siding is approximately 40% completed and 49 windows has been installed. Base sheet roof insulation is 90% completed. Also, second floor drywall is 85% completed. Mechanical and ductwork 90% completed throughout the entire building. Electrical wire roughly 90% completed in second floor and the first floor. To date, 100 tons of the waste has been recycled. At this time, this project is on time and within budget. So, we'll do that report. Cedarbrook Middle School update. The review process schedule has been completed. Also, on Thursday, February 5th, we met with a panel of the residents concerning the Cedarbrook project. There were 7 residents and the facility culture representing attendance. We discussed the feasibility study and finances. They also received an electronic copy of the feasibility study. Our next meeting is Thursday, February 19th. We plan to have our design team, Director of Education, and Director of Finance to attend this meeting to respond to any questions.
Thank you. And thank you. Ms. McHugh, I understand there was some sort of leadership conference.
Yes.
Please tell us about it.
Hi everybody. So there isn't much news tonight for the high school, but there are a few important announcements. So first, our student leadership conference this past Friday went extremely well. The 50 students invited, along with Mr. Burton, Mr. Hasty, and Mr. Wolf, spent time getting to know each other, learning different views on leadership, and then got down to business trying to come up with solutions to problems like assisting struggling students, bridging the gap between freshmen and the midterms and final schedule. And they presented those to the Mock School Board, which included Dr. Keeper, Ms. Parker, and Mr. Aver. The leaders came up with fantastic ideas, and hopefully they will be put into place shortly. We also have Thong coming up on Valentine's Day this Saturday. The students have raised $12,000 out of our $25,000 goal so far, and everyone's very excited to spend the day standing for 10 hours and supporting pediatric cancer. So for a sports announcement, I know we already heard it, but the winter season's coming to our end and our student athletes have been amazing. So our girls and boys basketball teams are both in the playoffs right now, and Ashley Jones from the Lady Panthers just scored her 1,000th point as a sophomore. And lastly, student council always hears complaints about the bathrooms in our school. So this past week, we completed a bathroom audit, surveying everything down to the toilet paper. And the problems were we found are being dealt with immediately, so that will be some good improvement to our school. Thank you.
Yes, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. I just wanted to say that I did have an opportunity to drop by the leadership conference, and the students, you all were just amazing. It was just wonderful to hear. I think there were 5 groups of students who presented to the mock board that represented ideas on an issue and some solutions, and it was just a wonderful day. Everybody's participation and the faculty leadership put that together, and our principal. It was just all around a great day, and it was wonderful that it was not only high school students, but that you also included some leadership students from Cedarbrook, kind of bridge. I really enjoyed the day, and thank you for letting me attend.
Ms. Haley.
I wasn't able to stay for the mock trial, but I was able to participate in the morning, and it was an awesome day. I think the diversity of the student participants, the engagement of the students, the engagement of the faculty was just breathtaking. So thank you very much for putting it on, both all of the faculty, the leadership, and particularly the students for your participation.
Thank you. Move on to the approval of the treasurer's report. Again, we're seeking to approve both the general revenue and expense summaries as presented. Is there a motion? Mr. Rucker.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Delgado. All in favor?
Aye.
favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Delgado, the IU.
Yes, thank you. The Montgomery County Intermediate Board meeting took place on January 22nd. It was a fairly short meeting, so my presentation will be short. Dr. John George presented a reorganization of the Montgomery County Intermediate Unit. He was very thoughtful and efficient in his restructuring and reorganization of the MCIU. So I expect, or we all expect, across the county, some positive things coming out of the IU over the next several years, hopefully. He also updated us on the marketing plan to try to generate some more revenue for the IU, which was nice. They are moving into their new building, effective this week. So our next board meeting will be at the new facility. It's rather large with a lot of conference space, and it just seems to really lift the morale of the employees at the IU. And that's pretty much it. There's some overlap, I'm sure Ms. Haywood will cover the legislative stuff in her presentation, so I don't want to be able to steal her thunder. Our next MCIU meeting will be February 25th. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gray.
The Eastern Board has not met since our last legislative meeting. We are scheduled to meet tomorrow evening.
Thank you. Sunshine announcements are as listed. We'll now move into the committee reports. For financial affairs, Mr. Delgado.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us, and have a great day.